Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, Spend It, three Fine Gael junior ministers make a call for tax cuts for workers. Gubu, the extraordinary story of Malcolm MacArthur, as told by journalist Harry McGee in his new book, The Murderer and the Taoiseach. Is Ireland sitting on a wind energy goldmine? We'll examine our potential to export electricity on a grand scale. Money and the Premier League. Are the vast sums of cash washing around football ruining the beautiful game? And while most of us might not aspire to have a six-pack this summer, we'll find out why having a strong core is so important for our health at any age. Physio Jenny Branigan and expert on ageing Roseanne Kenny will both be here a little bit later on. Text us on 51551 or you can email todaycb@rte.ie. Now, budget speculation, it appears to get earlier every year, but May might just be a new record. Three coalition ministers are calling today for some of the 16 billion euro surplus next year to be spent rather than saved. Writing in the Irish Independent today, Jennifer Carroll McNeill, Martin Hayden and Peter Burke say, as ministers, we must be ambitious and set out a clear strategy for how we can use the surplus to invest in the future. Well, joining me on the line now to discuss this is Peter Burke, Minister for European Affairs, and I'm also joined by Colette Bennett from Social Justice Ireland. Minister Burke, first to you. We had your party leader, the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, on the programme here last week. He confirmed that he is willing to set aside a portion of that money to be spent. And it's clear from what we see in the paper today, you're fully on board with this. Now, there's an election on the horizon. And I suppose one way to counter the electoral threat from Sinn Féin is to spend. Is that what's going on here?
No, absolutely not, Claire. What we want to do is really grasp the opportunity that we have now in terms of the surplus that is coming into the Exchequer. But we know there's huge opportunity in that. But equally, there's significant risk. And that's why one of the key platforms of the strategy is trying to put more money into our strategic reserve fund. Currently, the reserve fund has about 6 billion euro on it, and it's almost 75% full in terms of the cap that's on it. So we need to repurpose that fund and ensure, like the government did during COVID, that when our economy hits a shock, that there is money to put into our economy, because at that particular point in time, private investment collapses. And that's why you need a strong methodology to resuscitate our economy like we did during COVID. And again, that protects our workers, our families against economic shock. So that's a key tenet. Okay. But also we want to invest in
infrastructure. But you mentioned risk, and the Commission on Taxation have said the state is going to suffer a severe funding shortfall in the next 5 to 15 years. The overall level of revenue raised from taxation and PRSI will have to rise. Now, are you saying that you should ignore that advice?
No, absolutely not. That's why we're saying we need to increase our strategic reserve fund. We need to have a big chest there, a big reserve to ensure that when our economy hits a shock, that we have money to put back into it.
But are you going to cause the shock by reducing taxation?
Absolutely not. No, I'll explain this to you, Claire. Equally, our key strategy in Fine Gael is to ensure that we give and reward middle-income earners, because what that does, it brings more employment into our economy. And if you look at the figures, we've put 68,600 new people into our economy from 2021 to 2022 working. And what that means is that 68,000 families are providing an extra income into our economy, and the government is benefiting in terms of tax revenue through that. So we're growing our economy. And that's what Fine Gael's core model is. Keep the engine strong. Keep growing your economy. That's how you get better public services. And that's how you invest in our future. And one of the key things we're trying to do here is that we really need to invest more money in capital expenditure, in hospitals, schools, roads, infrastructure, childcare, energy. We have a whole new area in terms of offshore energy that we can grasp with both hands now. We've had our energy auction, and that can be a real game changer for our country in terms of bringing in revenue. And those are the policies we need to implement and accelerate and invest on.
So it's back to the McCreevy days of when I have it, I'll spend it.
No, that's absolutely not what I'm proposing. That's actually what Sinn Féin are proposing. Spend everything. That's what they wanted to do before
COVID. It's all
COVID.
About Sinn Féin, though, isn't it? You saw the results in the local elections at the weekend.
No, what we're very clear on here is that, and we've been very clear as a party in the last budget where we put €831 back into the pockets of middle-income earners in budget 2023, we want to continue that trajectory because we know families are feeling the sharp edges of inflation. We know the weekly shop has increased. Energy costs are very difficult to for families to bear. And for people who are going out, working hard, making our economy run and in turn, improving our public services, they need to be rewarded. And we see the evidence when you do reward people who are working hard in our economy, more money comes into our economy. And that's been the trajectory over the last number of years under good management by Fine Gael, but exceptional work by communities right across the country.
You say the average household income is €52,000, but the average wage in Ireland this year is €44,000. So what you're going to do here is skew this tax incentive towards higher earners.
No, absolutely not. We've seen the benefit for our lower income earners now, where people under 18,000 don't even pay tax at this juncture. We've increased wages through the commission, which proposes increasing the minimum wage. We've done it 8 times as a government with Fine Gael at the core of that, almost coming up towards 40% since we've been in government. And again, we'll be working hard to protect lower income earners and indeed through the welfare code, which is seen in terms of putting money in through fuel allowance, the core payments for disabilities or blind or carers, all those who are vulnerable in our society. But how you do that is you have to ensure the engine room is strong, and the fuel to keep the engine room going to run our economy is reward people who are out working, who are making our economy tick over, and that's critical to our strategy.
So what would you do for the working poor, for people who don't qualify for this tax break that you outline this morning? They might have two people working in a household, but they still really, really struggle.
Well, lower income earners will benefit through the universal social charge. That's a key point in the government where we've committed to in the programme for government for indexation of our rates and bands. And what that means is that, or bands, should I say, what that means is that it gives people a chance who are working that when the sharp edges of inflation come, they get more money in their pockets to fight and combat it. But the government has been very clear in doing care. We've been cushioning the blow of inflation. We're very honest in saying we can't wipe out every core point of inflation because it was in double digits. But even through universal payments that those families you referenced would benefit from, our student contribution for people who are in third level, reducing childcare by 25%, all those areas are targeted at making families feel the efforts of the government. But you can't do any of those methods if you haven't got a strong economy.
All right. It's interesting that this piece today in the paper is written by three Fine Gael ministers. You have a Fianna Fáil minister for finance. Have you spoken to Michael McGrath about your plan?
No, I haven't. This is me and my colleagues articulating Fine Gael policy and government. And that's very important for us as a political party to stand up for what we believe in. We believe in rewarding enterprise. We believe in rewarding work. We believe in ensuring that you have to protect families, vulnerable families up and down the country from the sharp edges of inflation. And our key tenet, as I said, to do that is to make sure you have a strong engine room, a strong economy to drive all those public services. And that's what we're focused on, protecting that by putting money by for times of shock that when, as I said, public investment needs to be very strong because our private sector can taper off.
All right. Peter Burke, stay with us if you can on the line because Colette Bennett is with us, economic and social analyst with Social Justice Ireland. Colette, what do you make of these suggestions from Peter Burke this morning?
Very similar to last year's very similar suggestions about tax cuts. It's an inappropriate response to a cost of living crisis. What it does is it disproportionately who are on higher incomes and expecting that to trickle down is just fallacy. You know, we've seen certainly in the last 15, if not far beyond that, that just does not work. What we see when we see tax credits and tax incentives is they benefit those who are on higher incomes to the detriment of those who are on lower incomes because they take money out of the pot for public services and infrastructure. And that's what people on lower incomes need. They're the supports that they need.
So then
we need to see investment.
Okay, so explain to us what you would do. There is all of this money to spend, we know that, or save. How should it be done?
There needs to be a considerable increase in investment around things like housing, like healthcare, like our childcare, like our public road system, our public transport system, our energy response. You know, again, we are consistently the climate laggard. We need to be channeling money and investment into that. We also need to be taking care of our international human rights obligations and channeling money in relation to ODA and climate finance, or sorry, overseas aid and climate finance. But separate to that, it is acknowledged by government that what we're seeing are windfall taxes. They aren't consistent in the future. So planning your taxes around leads to this kind of boom bust, these bubbles and bursts. What we need to be doing is separating that out from the actual budget and looking at what our actual budget is. You referenced there the Commission on Taxation and Welfare and their recommendations in relation to broadening the tax base and increasing the tax take. We have similar recommendations. The European Commission have made similar recommendations in its country reports for Ireland in terms of broadening our base and increasing our take so that we can sustainably pay our way into the future rather than seeing these kind of peaks and troughs that we're seeing at the moment.
OK, so Peter Burke, what do you say to that, that you're actually causing boom and bust by spending this money which is not coming from a sustainable source?
No, I'd absolutely reject that. And it's not spending it. And this is the key thing here. I have articulated quite clearly that we really want to put a very strong strategic reserve fund together, that we can have money to protect the most vulnerable when a crisis happens. And that was absent, obviously, 15 years ago, because there was no money in the war chest when our economy hit such a shock. So we want to protect those. But also we want to ensure that we protect people through the welfare code to ensure that those who are most vulnerable get interventions when they need it, like the government has put billions of euro into our economy through the very difficult sharp edges of inflation. But my core point is to have that, to deliver those public services, to have the money to finance those interventions, you need a very strong economy. And that's what this is about. It's about investing in capital expenditure, whereby you have you put the foundations that will pay the most reward into our economy into the future. It's like a business owner investing in a piece of capital equipment or machinery. That yields income returns right into the future. And that's what we want to do as a government, invest heavily in our infrastructure, change the way we have our energy policy, that we have our offshore really paying huge dividends into the future, and also ensure you protect the most vulnerable. And part of this policy is reducing indexation links to ensure that the most vulnerable are protected as well. And that's what we have to, we have an obligation to do that as a government, and we will be doing that.
Okay, so Colette, listening to that, are you not on the same page or closer than you might think?
Well, I'm delighted to hear a government minister acknowledging that they have an obligation to those who are most vulnerable, because they haven't been meeting that obligation in any way. What we saw in Budget 2023 was a number of one-off measures, one-off credits for people who are on lower incomes, and then much more long-term measures around the tax system for those who are higher earners. And what that resulted in was a rich gap increase of €199 in the year. So for those who are on €100,000 a year compared to those who are on social welfare, the gap is at €1,000 a week. What we've also seen, and again, the minister made some reference to it there, people are currently in crisis. When we talk about the welfare system, we need to start talking about income adequacy. So we and plenty of others in the sector called for an increase last year of €20 a week in core social welfare rates. That was the bare minimum that was required to meet the cost of living increase. We didn't get it. People on the core social welfare got €12. So they're €8 worse off than they were the year before. And these one-off measures have tapered out, and now we're still seeing cost of living increases. So that needs to be addressed, but it needs to be addressed now rather than waiting for some other crisis to happen in the future that builds upon the one we're currently in.
So on the temporary measures, you'd warned about this before, that once those temporary supports that we've seen in the past year are removed, that there would be huge problems. But what Peter Burke is outlining today, he's not talking about temporary measures.
But he's talking about a tax credit as opposed to an overall income adequacy package. So the once-off measures that supported those who are on welfare didn't bridge the gap that was necessary and have now all disappeared. So they're worse off than they were. In terms of those who are and are in the tax system, one-earner couple on €30,000 a year gained a whopping less than €9 between 2020 and 2023. And that compares to a couple on €100,000 a year that got €55 a week of an increase. So we're seeing a completely disproportionate response. And the last tax credit that the government introduced was in Budget 2023, and that was the credit. And that has been an abject failure. What we have seen again is that, and we warned the day after the budget was announced, that less than half of all renters would be able to apply for it because of the rules around supports, so subsidies. But also, you have to be earning a significant amount to actually be able to avail of it. Mm-hmm. So, for example, those who are earning 250,000 or more, their average amount in the rent credit is over 800 euro. Okay. Those who are earning 10,000 or less got 1 euro average.
Okay, I want to come back to Peter Burke on that issue of housing. You've touched on it there with the rent allowance. But Peter, the piece you've written with your colleagues today, it says we must restore the social contract whereby everyone who works hard and pays their taxes can afford a home. So do you not think that this money will be better spent investing in housing supply rather than extra spending money for a very specific group?
Well, I'm not proposing to invest it in a very specific group. That doesn't summarise the article. The article is very clear. In the first paragraph, we're talking about investing in housing, increasing our capital thresholds to ensure we put as much money into housing as we can into the future and into capital expenditure, which is very important. But when we go through the different rates of income people earn, we have to compare like with like. If you take someone that's getting 30,000 euro and compare them to someone who's getting 50,000 euro in relation to the tax they might get back, someone who's getting 30,000 euro would also potentially qualify for housing assistance through additional payments. They also would have got a number of universal payments through either energy credits or either through the potential could be getting the back to work dividend. There's loads of other social welfare payments that you can get on those brackets. So you have to be clear that when you're talking about middle income earners that increased from 45 to 50,000 euro, they can get very limited assistance unless they're universal. So we have to compare like with like when we're looking at who benefits and who doesn't. And that's why my party has been very clear in improving the minimum wage, as I said, over seven times we've increased it to ensure that people, the most vulnerable, do get a lift every time, to ensure that we've taken those earning less than 18,000 out of the tax net. But we also must reward those who are middle-income earners as well. And we have to get that balance right. And that's why no mention was of the permanent measures about our deaf schools getting more meals programmes into them, which is very important. And those permanent measures that we've made change in the budget, like childcare reducing it by 25%.
OK, we'll leave it there. Peter Burke and Colette Bennett, thank you both for joining us. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.